by the power of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Children may go to the classes. I want to get started because when it's warm, sometimes our attention's tough and it's a little warm. Amen. But you got this, right? Come on, amen. We got this. And I just pray that you're strengthened tonight. I just was really just in awe. Sometimes we choose songs. We had these songs picked. We had these songs picked and chosen, and they went right along with my message, and we didn't do that on purpose, but it's about surrendering to that love and letting that love touch others around us. Amen? And that's what we want. But I just want to share with you a few things here. How many of you guys know that you have an amazing testimony? Come on, amen? You have an amazing testimony, amen? Do you know the one thing that threatens the enemy is your testimony, amen? And when you stand without being shaken, it threatens him. Hallelujah. It threatens him. It threatens who he is. Why? Because it's by your testimony. The Bible says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we shall... Y'all know that. Come on. We shall what? Overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It is the testimony that we carry. The effect of what God done with us. The wonder of who He is in our lives. That amazes us. And then because of that, others around us are affected by that. So I want you to know this. I want you to be moved by the Spirit. Amen. The Bible says to be moved by the Spirit. And that we're moved by the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that sometimes if you're not moved by those things, we're not moved by the kingdom. And we need to be moved by it. We need to be moved by joy that overflows you. A peace that overwhelms you. Come on, amen. That's not explainable. That you can't even understand it. But it overwhelms you. It just begins to press down upon you. And that love that you begin to be overwhelmed by that. It's in the midst of those moments. Come on. That you're filled up by God. And out of that outflow is what touches those around you in your lives that are looking or desperate for God. Amen. They're desperate for God that we begin to fulfill. What is our calling? Amen. What is our purpose in life? We talked about it last week that we are called to get out of the boat. Tell your neighbor, get out of the boat. We're called to get out of the boat. Amen. Jesus always brought them to a place. He always put them in a boat and brought them to another place. And we can understand something that God has saved you. Not just from something, but what? For something. Man, that gives me purpose and direction when I can understand that God has something for me to demonstrate who He is. And I want you to know it's not something, and I begin to realize that it's not a specific ministry in a sense, but it's an understanding of knowing, declaring who He is in my life. And what is He doing to me? Because that's what changes things. When I can have a personal testimony, it's not just what the pastor said, and that's a good thing because I'm saying it. But it's when you have this testimony, when you take the words that are declared out of this place and walk out this week and begin to let them live in your life, that is the kingdom of God demonstrated. Come on, we talk about the kingdom of God. Everybody we hear churches always talking about that. But what is the kingdom of God? What does it look like? I'm here to tell you the kingdom of God is right here. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is within me. Where is the kingdom of God? It's within us. And I want you to know, how is God's kingdom demonstrated on the earth? Through you. You are the vessels of heaven. Hallelujah. Demonstrated on the earth. Let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be demonstrated. Let the joy that overwhelms heaven overwhelm you. Come on. Let the peace of God that's tranquil like the sea be within you. That when others are around, that you bring in calmness and peace. That Jesus, when He walked on the earth in the midst of the storms, He walked on the water and calmed everything around them. That was the kingdom of God in action. That was the demonstration of the kingdom. How much powerful is that? And when you realize and you have this testimony within you to begin to declare it of God's goodness, of God's love, and how much He overwhelms you that you can't even explain, but it'll bubble out of you. Amen? It'll be demonstrated through your life. So I want to share this with you, just this real quick. What's our responsibility? What is our responsibility once you receive this? And sometimes I just began to get on this in my heart about being full of God, having the fullness of God. Man, I want to have the fullness of God. That no more where I'm at, no matter what I'm going through, that I experience the fullness of God. Come on, amen? I want you to know that we have Him in us. It's not just part of God. We have all of God within us. Amen? That we receive all of God. But once you understand, as we begin to walk it out, we begin to experience, we begin to activate, we begin to walk in the Spirit, then we begin to experience the fullness of God. Amen? The fullness of who He is. All that He has. Sometimes we demonstrate or we share out of different places in our lives, out of places where you don't have peace, where you don't have joy, and we demonstrate that in the kingdom of God, and it's not right. So what is our responsibility? To release the kingdom of God in the fullness of what it is. Not part of it, but the fullness of it. Amen? Sorry, let me share this. 2 Corinthians, just a couple scriptures. I promise you I'll be the sweatiest person here tonight. If not, you can challenge that. You okay, though? If anybody needs a water, please let us know. Raise your hand. Somebody will take that to you. Or you can come grab it. Amen? 2 Corinthians. And it says this. It says, henceforth now, therefore, this is verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry. Come on, amen. I want you to hear this. The ministry of reconciliation. He says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. I want you to know that Jesus walking on earth, it was Jesus Christ reconciling all mankind unto His Father. It was Jesus Christ demonstrating that. This is the ministry of reconciliation, is where that you are drawing. Come on, amen. That we become ambassadors. That the Word of God says we're ambassadors. That means that you have the authority to declare peace. Listen, I want you to understand that this is what God has placed. You are called to declare joy in people's places of life, where they are, where they're mourning. Come on, that we're to bring from mourning to joy. Come on, from sadness to laughter. Come on, whatever that thing is, that we are called to demonstrate it, to bring it. Come on, amen. We are called to bring it. That we're not just praying for it. We are called to bring it. Because we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of bringing those back to God. That Jesus, when He walked on the earth, that's what He was doing. He was demonstrating heaven on earth. He was reconciling all the things. Come on. The things that we've been robbed from, that has been stolen from us, that we have lost. He was reconciling it back to man. And I want you to understand that we begin to grab hold of who we are in Him and our testimony for what He did for us. That gives us the ministry of reconciliation. It's within us. Listen to this. And He says, now, then, we are... Oh, wait, let me finish this. He hath committed unto us, this is what He's given to us, the word. We have a word within us of reconciliation. We have that word within us. I want you to hear this. As we grow in our walk with God, there should be an increase within us for compassion for those around us. Because that root of that love is growing deep within us. So I want you to know, the closer you get to God, the more you reveal of His love for you. And the wonderment of who He is in your life. And the recklessness of His love. You know, God's not reckless. But if you look at the way He loves, it looks reckless. It's going to His own extreme. It bankrupt heaven. That's what love did. Going beyond. Going to places. I want you just to take hold of this and recognize that how many times has God loved you and you've not loved Him the way that He's loved you. But I'm here to tell you that every time you turn from Him, He keeps looking to you to look to Him. It never stops. See, when we begin to get a glimpse of that wonder, When we begin to get a glimpse of His love, it begins to overwhelm us. We begin to experience the fullness of God. And when you begin to experience the fullness of God, then we begin to live life in abundance. See, because when we realize we have this ministry of reconciliation, bringing those that are lost, people that are in your way, people that are walking past you when you walk out of a building or somewhere, whatever that is, and God plants them, it's not a mistake. Come on, amen. It is not a mistake, because why? You have a word of reconciliation. But what does that look like? How do I demonstrate that? I want you to know that sometimes it's just talking. Sometimes it's just sharing. Sometimes it's just hugging somebody. Just loving on somebody. I began to think about my aunts. I had two amazing aunts that were women of God. And my aunt Dolores and my aunt Lois, a cousin Alan's mother. And these women would come. I don't know how old were they when they would take me to Bible school. But I think you were with me, weren't you? You were there. We'd go in this little church. And every year for one whole week, she showed up at my doorstep to come get me, to take me to Bible school. And I want you to know there was a demonstration of the kingdom of God that was demonstrated in my life. So I want you to know that at that moment, I didn't realize it. At that moment, there was a seed that was planted within me that wasn't ready for it. Come on, we're going to talk about the seeds that are sowing. But it doesn't matter, because God will keep sending. It wasn't just Aunt Lois. It was my Uncle Jim. It was my cousins. It was my all these different ones in my life. My friend Jeff that affected me. These different ones that came along. And every time, because God was relentless to show me that He loved me, He wasn't going to stop. Every time I rejected Him, every stop I turned myself from Him, it was God continually to send somebody to give me a word of reconciliation, to plant something within my heart that one of these days it's going to take hold of me. One of these days it's going to root within me. And one of these days I'm going to have a testimony of how relentless God's love is for you. See, that's what He wants to demonstrate. It's a little acts of things you might not be making a difference. Doesn't matter. You just do it. It's taking that person in the grocery store or the hospital or whatever that thing is. It's declaring it. It's bringing that person there. Maybe you're the one just to bring the church. Maybe God will have to design a word that at that moment they hear that word will change their lives. Come on. My friend Sam was for months trying to get to this church, and he came, and every time he came, the door was locked. He couldn't get in the front door. But I want you to know that I don't think it was a mistake. I believe that the word that was specific for him was at a certain time and a certain moment. And the moment that he came in was a moment that he heard a word that he needed to hear. That he was talking and praying to God for that specific thing. And at that moment, God began to speak to him. That thing that he was crying out to God, that's God being relentless. That's God reconciling. I will leave the 99 for you. See, that doesn't make sense to us. See, I want you to know that that's what God wants to do. He wants to overwhelm you. Amen? He wants to overwhelm us with His goodness, that we have this testimony, that we're not afraid to declare and to share those that are lost, those that are dying, those that are broken, those that are hurting, that you have a word. Who has a word? We have a word. We've been given a word. Tell your neighbor, I've been given a word. Amen? Where's my time? I don't want to hit anybody. Amen. My father, I remember one time he spit on me in service and he said, "That's anointed. Don't worry, son." I said, "That doesn't help, Father." Listen now, then we are the ambassadors of Christ. Ambassadors. Those that are able to make treaties. People that feel, listen, people that feel that they're at war with God, God has you here representing Him. Am I making peace in people's hearts with God? Am I able to tell them that even where they're at, that man, God loves you, man. I'm just here to tell you, God loves you. Come on. That I'm an ambassador of heaven. Not what it looks like down here. Come on. Not the way it feels like here. Not that I've been ripped off, I've been denied, I've been broken, I've been hurt. Come on, I'm not here to represent the earth. I'm here to represent heaven. All that's healed, all that's righteous, all that's pure, all that's lovely. Think of these things. Come on, amen. You are to demonstrate that. You are to be my ambassador right here in the earth. Don't look around and see the way it is here. No, no, you demonstrate who I am. Not hatred, not prejudice, but love. You demonstrate it. You're my ambassadors. What a heavy weight. What? Think about this. That this Father who loves us. That says, listen, I think so much of you that I am putting everything into you. What? Yeah, everything. All my dreams, everything staked upon you. I'm putting it within you. Because I believe in myself and I believe in my love. That when you're empowered by that, come on, amen, it'll demonstrate it in the earth. You are my sons and daughters. You are my children. Come on, we could see it all through. You see the story. It was always God invading earth with who He was and using people to be ambassadors. Come on, like Moses and Elijah. Come on, to demonstrate who He was and the way things are. Because all around us are things that are negative and the opposite of the way of heaven. And He needed somebody to demonstrate that. Come on. So He sent His Son to be the ambassador of heaven, to demonstrate His love. Whew. Think about that. Amen? I hope you get this. You okay? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He's listening, and he says, giving no offense, he says, but in all things, this is in 6:4, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in the necessities of distresses. Why? I want you to know, because we are demonstrating what it is in heaven on the earth. In the worldly environment, we are demonstrating something that's not the same as that is in the earth. We are carrying a different culture. So when you carry that different culture, you are always, there's always something combative about it. Everywhere Jesus went, remember, we talked about when Jesus arrived. He got to a place. When you're carrying the Word of God and you're demonstrating the Kingdom of God, we got to realize that whenever we get to the other side, we get to where He's wanting us to go, that there's always going to be some type of conflict or interference trying to disrupt what you're doing. Because you have a purpose. If you had no purpose, He'd lay back and say, go ahead. You have no effect. But when you come on behalf of the business of heaven, the enemy's threatened because it puts him out of business. So we talked about how that they arrived and they get off, and all of a sudden here comes a man that's insane, overwhelmed, overtaken, chained and bound and abused. He came right there before the enemy was trying to disrupt it. I want you to know that Jesus showed him who he really was. And his purpose. That man ended up, you can look in the Word, that after that moment, that became an unbelievable man. That because of it, thousands of people were touched. And you could see, and if you study the Scripture, you could see that all of a sudden, this moment, they said that all you have to do is touch his garment. That's what they were saying. That they said, just touch his garment. You just touch his garment and you'll be healed. Just touch his garment. That's all you have to do. See, that's what he was demonstrating. He was saying, listen, all you have to do is touch him and things will be changed. And so you could see that where changes were, that thousands and thousands of people were touched in communities they weren't before. Why? Because Jesus went and infiltrated a place that everybody was afraid to go. Just like sometimes those disciples were just like me and you. When I seen that guy coming running out of the mountains, running naked, chained, banging all this stuff. And I'd be, wait a minute, let's get back in the boat, man. I'll go back to the storm. That was better than this. Come on, amen? But there are things that come against that try to rise up. And that's why we need to know our love. And we need to be secure in who we are in Him. And have our love that has gripped us and held us tight. Amen. That we have a testimony of what God has done for us in our lives. That you can say this, letting God love you. Just opening your heart and letting God do what He does best is love. That's who He is. God is love. Just embrace it. Take hold of it. Amen. Oh, let me get to where I got to go. Good. I'm going to be done at 7:30. Can you hold on for me? I'm not going to rush it, but I want you to take hold of this. Amen. Thank you. Matthew 25:35, and it says this. It says, "And for I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we do this?" And they began to go all on and began to repeat the same thing. And he says, "When did we see you sick, or when were you in prison?" And he says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, as much as you have done them unto one of the least of these, thy brethren, you have done it. You've done it. You've done it unto me." That if you've done it unto the least, you've done it unto me. See, I want you to know, I want you to get a picture of this and realize this, that I want you to know it changes my view of people that are the least to what we think they are. To realize to Him, it's more than that. That He compares Himself, saying that when you do it to them, you do it to me. You do it to me. When you do this to those ones, come on, amen. That when my aunt did that to me, she was doing it unto Christ. So I want you to know that, listen to me, it's not that when someone might reject you, you feel like they're rejecting you. I want you to know that it's not you. Don't take it personal. Come on, amen. So sometimes we think that we're not effective. Sometimes we think that we're not doing the right things or enough. But don't stop. Come on, amen. Because what you do it unto Him. That what we're doing unto Him. Come on, amen. When I'm sitting there, the PowerPoint, and when you're standing at the door, come on, amen, when you're carrying the waters, when you're standing, you're singing and worshiping, come on, when you're part of it, when you're tithing, you're offering, when you go out on the streets and you're blessing somebody, when you're serving, when you're creating something, when you're doing this, when those ones that came to your house, come on, amen. Amen, Sister Sylvia, come on, did you get blessed this week? Come on, you, amen, come on, she got blessed. They came in and invaded her house with the kingdom of God. And blessed her home. Come on, that's real. Come on, that's just not us talking about it. Come on, amen. That's just not us talking about it. That's just not us having a fancy sign that says something that God loves you. No, it is demonstrated. We are the signs of God. We are the demonstration of God. We are the distributors of heaven. Right here on earth. The conduit. Listen. Let's go to Luke 8. I'm sorry. I don't say I'm sorry. I do say that a lot for getting excited, but I can't help it because I got a testimony. Amen? I get overwhelmed by the wonder of who He is in my life. Of how much He desires to spend time with me. Now this is a parable under the seed. Is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And He says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Let me just jump this real quick. Let me give this out to you first, because I believe that it came up because of this. We can always look at the context. We can always see where this come from. That Jesus just tell a parable, but it was leading from something. And I want you to know that it came from Him sharing to a woman that was prostitute, that she was overwhelmed by demons, that they called them demons. They said they were demons. She had seven spirits within her. And her name was Mary Magdalene. Tell your neighbor, you know the whole story. But not everybody there knows the whole story. See, not everybody there knew that this was the least of them, but she was going to be the last one standing. When everybody ran, she was going to be at His feet. Come on, amen. She was going to be the one there that never going to give up. Come on. Who was never going to run out on Him because of what the wonder of what He did for her. And so this story to me was demonstrating to say that don't stop, because I want you to know that you might think it's not doing anything, but this is the Word of God. And the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. It was God. So listen. So here's this Word. See, that's what's so powerful. If you just stop, I just don't want to jump over this. But the God that spoke the words are the seed that we're talking about. The same words that created all these things was desiring to be planted in you. To take root in you. Listen, He spoke the word and trees grew. He spoke the word and water existed. The planets popped up. But the only time He speaks His word and it doesn't work sometimes, or doesn't come. Oh. That's powerful, man. Woo! Good thing I got, listen, my brother Randy brought me 20 pair of glasses. 20 pair, no lie. So listen, so the one thing that struggles with God's word is us. Everything else is perfect in all of its way. The wonderment, the stars, the sun, the moon, they obey. They come up, they go down, they come up. He says He spoke it and it never stopped. It went on and on and on. But us, challenge the word. We become disagreeable with it, argumentable with it. We can't believe it. Not because we don't want to. Don't laugh. This is not for your amusement. He says, preaching and showing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with Him. Jesus was demonstrating the kingdom of God, and His 12 disciples were with Him. And a certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. And when the people were gathered, were come to Him, He began to speak of a parable. And this is what the parable was. So I want you to know, because they can think, I don't know, her heart's too hard. There's no reason I can't do this. I'm not going to share nothing with her. I want you to know the seed that you spoke is the same seed. The words that you speak from God are the same words from being your creation. Come on, amen? It never changes. And it says, and now the parable of this, He says, those that are on the wayside are they that hear, and cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should not believe and be saved. That is that moment where immediately, where sometimes that you hear, we're out on the streets and you look at somebody and you share something. Come on, I've been there. I've been there with times where I knew, man, God told me to go to this person and share this word with them. I went up to them and they said, oh, that ain't for me, and walked away. Get back here right now. You're going to take hold of Jesus today. No, but I want you to know at that moment, come on, that He wasn't ready for it. But it was the beginning of it. Come on. Something was being cultivated. It has to start somewhere. Come on, somebody's got to stop the process. Somebody has to share that. Somebody has to open that up. Maybe you're the one that just to till the ground. Because all of it's part of cultivating. Maybe you're the one that's just tilling the ground. And someone else is going to step in. Or maybe you bring the church in at that moment. That word comes and boom, it penetrates the heart and it begins to grow. Whatever it is, that we're part of this cultivation of the kingdom of God. Planting the seed, setting the tone, declaring the word of God. And all of a sudden, here He comes. And it says that the enemy comes in. This is what the enemy always does. He tries to do with all of us. He tries to come in and snuff it out. He tries to interrupt the kingdom of God. He tries to disrupt the growth of God in your life. So I want you to see that seed, our walk with God, is just not just the seed, but it's to come in to grow into stuff. That we are called the trees of righteousness. And you can look at Psalms where it says that they were trees planted by the river that grew up. And they became shade to those that are hurting and broken and lost. Reconciliation. Your life is a shelter for those that are hurting. Listen, I want you to hear this. Hear it the right way. Jesus says, go ye into the world and make disciples. You demonstrate in all the earth. You go to the sick, those ones that are diseased, the blind, heal them. You heal them. Demonstrate who I am. Be my representative in the earth now. You be a shelter to them that the broken can run unto, that the blind can trust you. I trust you that when you can't see, that are willing to hold your hand and to know that they're not going to lead them into something that's going to wreck them. Come on, amen. They're willing to trust you. This is how much God believes in you. Come on, amen. That He puts this within you, that you demonstrate this love, that you're willing to be at a place where that your life is at a place where they're trusting you. Come on, this is a shelter, hiding and abiding in the shelter of the Almighty. Come on, amen. That He trusts you to do that, to demonstrate that. I want you to know when you are released that kind of love, you begin to feel the fullness of God. Come on, amen. The realness of God, the abundant life that He talked about. This is why Jesus declared this, and He says, go ye into the world. Come on, amen. And all the world, and demonstrate this. Because they start off and they said, oh, we're supposed to take it to Jerusalem. No. The world. That's my vision. Everybody. Listen. And the second one is, and He says, and they on the rock are they that when the seed falls upon the rock, they hear, they receive the word with joy, and they have no root. So I want you to know that it's fall upon something that is causing it not to begin to grow, that it wants to. I want you to know how many of you have been there. I was in this place that I've demonstrated. I've turned my ear because I believed the lie that I wasn't good enough, that God wouldn't want me, that I could never make it as a Christian. I was never good enough. I've been to a place where that I couldn't build roots. Why? Because of the hurts and the pain were keeping me from going down, from growing, from expanding, and for growing out to keep me rooted and grounded. But I couldn't, because there was things that were a chain to me, that every time I ran after God, that chain, that choice from the past would pull me back again and uproot me. As much as I wanted to. I wanted to run with God, but there were things that were pulling me back every time, keeping me from being rooted, that I'm getting down into the ground and becoming stable and sure. The Bible says that we are to be rooted and grounded in His love. He says in the fourth one, he says, and rooted in which while they believe for a while, but temptation falls away. And when which they fall among thorns, and those that fall among thorns are they which they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of the world, and they bring forth no fruit, that they are choked. They are choked by sometimes things, those things that we let them grow up with us instead of nipping them in a bud. And it's like bitterness that we talked about on Wednesday 2 weeks ago. That bitterness is one of the most dangerous things. It's the opposite of thankfulness. Thankfulness can cheer you up, can lift you up, and cause other people to want to be around you. Remember Mr. Rogers? And that guy was the real deal. Everybody wanted to be around him. Why? Because he was thankful. He was joyful. There was something about him that he was drawn to. That there was a childlike faith within this man, this wonderment of everything that he's seen, that he was wondered about everything that he looked at and seen because of the love of God that was within his heart. And it touched those around him. Something about that draws others around you, that bears fruit, that no matter what's going on, but being rooted in that word. Amen? Let me borrow those glasses. No. Thorns removed. I want you to think about this as I close. But those things that sometimes we let grow up are things that we're not willing to deal with. Things that we're not willing to, that we want to go with God, but there's some of the things in the past that we're not willing to uproot yet. But those things will ultimately choke you out. And sometimes those things that we talk about all the time are things from the past. They're pains, that are hurts, different things that we've chose to run to, to surrender to. And those things are ultimately things that will try to choke you out, that'll overwhelm you more than letting His Word overwhelm me. See, if letting His Word overwhelm you, grab you, take hold of you, and overwhelm you. Amen? All right, let me finish here. But this is pretty much the blueprint of understanding that when I was telling you about Mary Magdalene, that Mary Magdalene was, she might have been one of these ones that was witnessed to many of times. But I want you to know that here she's the fourth one of all these seeds. You wouldn't have picked her to be that one. Some people wouldn't have picked me. I remember a lady from church told me, she goes, you are hopeless. Church lady. Looked just like that lady from David, just like her. You're hopeless, young man. I don't know if it was a snowball the year before that hit her in the face, or me and my brother were outside after church and snowball fight. The world stops when you're having fun. You know what I mean? And I remember that I was running up the steps and my brother Kenny took that snowball and just, he had me on sight. I ducked and the door opened and there she was. Goodness. That's why I only had one kid and it was a girl and I was done. Did not want to deal with that. Take the chance of what I showed. I remember my father one time in the middle of service, me and my brother were in the back, and somehow we were getting into a little scuffle in the back pew, not paying attention to anything else around us. My dad stopped. We didn't know he stopped, and we're in the back, and he's standing there. He said, "Dearly beloved," he says, "right now my sons would like to share something. Stand up, boys." We stood up. This was a pretty big church at the time. There was a man in the United Church of Christ. We stood up in the middle of the service. He says, "Go ahead, boys, share what you were saying." He says, "I'm not going on until you share what you two were talking about." He made us share what we were talking about. I can't remember what it was. It wasn't that important. But listen, he says, "But that on the ground, that on good ground, are they which in a honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it." Say, keep it. They keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. They keep the word. Listen to me. They keep the word. They don't abandon it. They won't run from it. They won't give it up, even though everything around them, come on, is based upon the heaven, not the earth. Come on. Not the reality of the earth, but the reality of heaven. And they keep it in their heart. No matter how much things are going wrong around them, that they keep it in their heart. And they let that begin root within them. Come on, amen. And that's what takes over. That's what becomes infectious. Wow. That those around us becomes contagious. That they want that. We need, come on, a revival in our hearts. We need a revival of the kingdom of God within us. Come on, I want you to know that I say this reverently, that we're not just praying for God to do, listen, He's done it all. He's done everything. He bankrupted heaven that you could be filled with the Spirit. There's not much more. It's in you. Come on, amen. The kingdom of God is within us to be activated. Come on, amen. To be kept. To be taken hold of. To be walked in. To be expressed. To be related. To let forth come out of our lives. We want to feel life. I want you to just take this test this week. Just share the gospel somehow. Even with God's love. Somebody said, "Well, I don't know what to say." Just say nothing. Find somebody to invest in. Somebody to love. Somebody to help. Someone to encourage. Just do that. Begin to do that. Begin to release the kingdom of God. Ask God for your help. God, send somebody. Hallelujah. Send somebody, Lord, that I might be an ambassador of you right here this week. Maybe it's my wife. Maybe it's my children. Maybe it's people at church. Maybe it's my pastor. Maybe it's the people that I work with. It doesn't matter. That's the kingdom of God. That's revival. That's real revival. Come on, amen. That's revival. It's reviving in us. Amen. Last two scriptures, Philippians. Check these out. It's at Philippians 4:17. This is where my Bible gets messed up. I sweat all over it and pulls apart. This is Paul saying that not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. This is what he was saying. They were in a position that they were blessing him. He says, listen, I want you to know that I'm content no matter what. But because of what you did, this will go to your account. This is going to benefit you. This is you experience the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God being released. And you're going to bear fruit from it. He says, so this is for your good. He says, but I have all abound that I'm full having received. And the things which are sent from you, they're an odor of sweet smell of sacrifice. This is what he's declaring. He says, this is pleasing to God. He says, the fruits that you bear, that others are partaking of, he said, it is a sweet smell. It's a sacrifice, an odor unto God that touches the heavens. Come on, amen. When you do those things, come on, amen. Heaven is opened up. Come on, amen. That God begins to... Come on, I love that aroma. Come on. Of my people releasing me out of them. Come on, amen. They're expressing me in all the earth. Come on, amen. You wonder, what is that smell? And he says, but my God... Listen to this. This is right after he says, you're the fruit. He says, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. His riches and glory. I want you to know that all of his riches are in you. All of his riches are in you. I want you to get that, understand that. He invested everything. Everything, there's not something else. No. Everything was invested into you. My God shall supply all my needs. I want you to know that God's depending on you to release His riches to supply those that are in need. To bless those that are hurting. Those that are bankrupt emotionally. Come on, amen. Those that are disturbed. Those that are hurt. Those that feel worthless. Come on, amen. That I have put you to supply that need. Come on, amen. To touch them in that area that they need it. Come on. For you to be open to feel it and see somebody. You're close enough to know that when there's something wrong with somebody. That you know that you're close enough to them. But what happens is we go to church all the time. That you can't even tell if someone's really this way or that way. You don't even know what kind of emotions they have. Because we don't spend enough time or any time with anybody. You know when your wife's mad. Or your husband. They don't have to say nothing. Come on, don't look funny at me. I can feel it. If I know I did something, she's silent. Whew. That scares me. I feel threatened. I know that aroma. Listen. And he says, but my God supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Now unto God our Father in glory forever and ever. He says, and the last scripture is this. Get ready, brother, to play that. Philippians 4:9. He says, those things. Man, I love this. Those things which are have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Wow. See, that's where he wants us to be. That we're willing to see, Bill, the things that you've seen in me, do them. That's what he wants us to be. That he wants us to be willing to say, that's what you see me do, do it. That's revival. That's powerful. Follow me as I follow Christ. He says, so I want you to know, but I'll tell you what, just like this, as I said that word, I felt this. Some people say, yeah, but man, I don't have it all together. Stop. None of us are perfect in that way. We are in Him. We make mistakes. But we keep that word. We don't abandon it. The enemy wants you to give up and say, well, I'm never going to get there. Yeah. Yes, you can. Yes, you are. And he says, and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace, the God of peace, shall be with you. You will be overwhelmed by peace. Wow. He was so determined with his walk with God that he's willing to tell others, follow me. I want you to know what other way is there to serve God. Come on. With abandonment. That's the same thing that Peter said. He says, were you going to leave me? He says, where are we going to go? Nobody has given me what you have. Nobody. I'm in this thing. He made mistakes too. But he says, I'm not going to give up on this. Let's go ahead, brother. Could you come up here? I'm going to pray for you, David. David, come on up here. Would you stand with me and pray with me? Come on. Just a resilience and a passion to overwhelm you. I pray that your eyes will be open. I pray that your eyes will be open, that you will see God like you've never seen before. See, I want you to know when that curtain's unveiled, that when we begin to get beyond all the things, the hurts and the pains from what people have done to us that seem to represent God, even though they didn't say that, that fathers or mothers or whatever, they, in some way, sometimes they represent that. But I want to take that all off our minds and our eyes, that we see Him for who He is. That He can overwhelm you. And that passion and that hunger will increase and begin to burst out of you like never before. And I even ask that God will direct you in the ways that you go, your work. And God's going to use you in those places. God's going to use you for those that get into your van, that you have a captive audience. They're there. I want you to pray. I want you to pray on your way there to get those men, that the peace of God floods them. That your van's like nobody else's van. Your van is invaded by the kingdom of God. Come on, amen. That when they step into your van, they feel like they're in the heavens. Come on, amen. They feel like this peace, that no matter what their days are, when they get in your van, something overwhelms them, overtakes them. Come on. And it is the presence of God. You've got the minister of reconciliation to tell people the peace of God. Make treaties where there's war in people's hearts. You tell them the truth, that God loves them. He's relentless. He won't stop until He gets them. He will love them. Jesus, the only one who could ever worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Let's just finish by singing this song. Come on, hallelujah. Just turn that up a little bit. Let's just sing this. Come on, amen. Come on, grab somebody's hand. Come on, just worship with somebody. Strengthen somebody's heart tonight. Come on. release the kingdom of God in someone's heart. Bless somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want you to remember this. I feel this when I was standing there. I feel encouraged to encourage you that where your workplaces are, pray on the counters. Pray, lay hands on the counters. It might seem foolish, but those people that come in daily that touch those counters, or those that sit in your seats in your beauty shop, or those that come into to your places, pray over the place. Come on, amen. Pray over the houses that you walk into, that they've given you authority to walk into. I want you to know, pray, hallelujah. Declare the kingdom of God in the midst of it. Pray peace upon that household. Your hands and your voice are vessels of honor. Come on, amen. To demonstrate this. So no matter where you are, begin to declare it. Amen. Speak to those areas. Speak to those ones. Every time your children walk out of your household, lay hands on them. Amen. Lay hands on them. Pray for them. Protect them. Ask God's guidance upon them. Amen? Come on, amen. Let's have revival. I love you. Thank you. We'll declare with all of our hearts that we are blessed and highly favored. I'll see you here Wednesday.